life that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I, and so it is. Welcome to the Centers for Spiritual Living Midtown. I am Judy Ailey, one of the practitioners here at the center. And we're so glad that you could join us today, whether you are here in person in the room or whether you are online. We are so grateful that you are here and you are so welcome here. We are a center that welcomes everyone who desires to be here and is looking for a new way to look at life and to look at spirit and the world. So know that if you have joined us this morning, that you are in the right place for support, continued spiritual growth, and love. Dr. Bob is out of town this week, so today we will be hearing from of our practitioners, so we really look forward to that. We'll be hearing from Maya Fuller, Barbara Guillory, and Norma Roberts. But before we go any further and get into that, we want to remember some of the principles that we believe. So here are some of the practitioners and board members that are stating these principles. So let's watch this now together.
I believe.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So today's theme is falling forward, stumbling blocks, or stepping stones. And the affirmation for today is, I persevere with the strength of spirit within me. As we have been focused on the area of work during the month of September, and as we wind that month up, we have learned that we are all self-employed, that we do our work, whatever it is, as a service to the world. And as we do this work, we allow spirit to express through us. Good work is your creative self-expression, no matter what kind of work you do. And through this creative self-expression, we are creating lives that matter. If you think back on your life, to your greatest challenges, to those things that you have overcome, they can be your greatest gift. Overcoming those challenges can be something that you can share with the world. So think about what things have you been through and have come out on the other side of stronger and more grounded in faith. It is like so much of life. Do we see these challenges as stumbling blocks that have kept us from moving forward? Or do we instead see these challenges as stepping stones to our next great experience or realization? So take a moment to think about something in your life that at the time seemed like a huge challenge and you never thought you would make it through. You thought the difficulty would never go away, whatever it was. And then you realize that when you look back on that, that whatever the challenge was, that you did make it through, that you did make it past that. It transformed into something else. You made it through. Now take a moment and think about something that you might be dealing with right now. Something that seems so big and hard that you just don't know how you will ever get past this thing. Then realize that there is a way. Perhaps you can't see the way, or it feels too big. Then remember that we are dealing with a power that is bigger, stronger, and more loving than anything that we face. We may not be able to see how the situation will be transformed, but it can and it will. If you touch into the affirmation that was our affirmation for today, you can persevere with the strength of the spirit within you. In my own life, there were definite challenges. Some were repeated themes that just seemed like they would never go away. In the distant, distant past, I would say that love relationships were my biggest challenge. I had been in a few that I would call negative relationships, just not a good thing. And so after struggling with the whole thing for a number of years, I finally decided I would just give up. I wanted to be in a loving partnership with someone, but I just could never get it right. So I thought, I'm just going to quit trying this. Well, through a lot of prayer work and working with others in a prayer group, at the time we called it Mastermind, I finally did manifest a good, healthy, loving relationship. And I actually got married. I'm still married. And when I look back on that, I think, wow, at the time, I just never thought I would ever move out of a place of despair about relationships. But getting a better idea about myself, about spirit, and with the support of others, I was able to transform that part of my life into something better. And in more recent times, I would share with you that I have had some health challenges. Not really anything that a medical doctor could label. I just wasn't feeling good. I was low energy all the time. I went to the doctor and had my, I always keep up with my annual checkups, and they did blood work and all that stuff, and nothing was showing up. So I had been persistently praying and treating for better health for myself. I reached out to other prayer partners who had also been praying for me. And I was really just at the point where I thought, well, maybe this is just growing old. I'm just stuck with not feeling very good. But I decided that, no, this does not have to be the way it is. So through some serendipitous events and through prayer, and one of the things that happened is I met an alternative health professional who turned out to be exactly what I was looking for, and I'm not pressing that on anybody, but through continued prayer and treatment, I have to say that I finally feel like I have turned the corner and am feeling back to my old self again. So I'm really grateful for that, I have to add also. So think about it. What are you struggling with? What seems impossible in your life right now to overcome? If we can change our view and see it as a stepping stone to a greater experience rather than a stumbling block that we're facing, I think that that just approach can reframe it for us. All right, I'm going to transition now into an affirmative prayer for us. Spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer is what we call this. So if you'll just take a few moments and just relax wherever you happen to be, whether you're here in the room or at home or wherever else, and just allow yourself to close your eyes if you feel comfortable, and take a couple of nice, slow, deep breaths, and just allow yourself to sink into this present moment, and just allow whatever you've been thinking about or anticipating to do after we finish here, whatever that is, that you just allow that to go into the background and focus on this present moment, and know that we recognize and know that there is one power, one presence, one life, one goodness, one energy of life that flows through everything. That God is really all there is. That this presence and this power surrounds us, it enfolds us, it fills us. That we are completely immersed in it, and it is completely filling us right here and right now. And as I know that this is the truth for myself, I just know that each person here will accept that for themselves as well. So as we know our oneness and our unity with the all good, this loving, healing presence that can overcome all things, I know for myself and I know for each person listening here today that the truth of us is vibrant life and vibrant health, vibrant aliveness. So I just affirm and know that this is our natural state of being, that this presence and this power guides us and directs us, that as we know this great truth about ourselves, that vibrant health is ours, that we are divinely guided to take steps on the physical plane, whether it's changes in what we eat and how we move and what we think, the medical professionals that we may be engaged with, that all of that is supporting us and guiding us and directing us into an experience of vibrant health. I also know for myself and for each person here, divine love, that we live in a universe that is filled with love, and that everywhere we look, we see opportunities to express love, and that we take these opportunities. And we know that as we allow this presence to flow through our lives, that we bring love to every situation that we encounter, that we are that loving presence, and that we are divinely guided and directed to experience love in greater and greater ways. I know that I am one with infinite intelligence, and that this infinite intelligence fills my mind with new ideas and new inspiration to face whatever it is that is happening in my life. I know that for each person here. So I know that whatever's going on, that whether it's how we see things that are going on in the world that may look so dark and hard, that this presence, this unity, this power, this goodness has it under control, that right action is taking place on all levels of existence, on each of us individually and personally, on every person in the world, on our world leaders, on in the world all around us. So we turn away from any idea that we have to struggle and strain, that we have to work hard to make life happen. We turn away from any idea of lack or limitation or illness or conflict of any type. Instead, we know that life flows easily through each one of us, that life that is good, that is full, that is marvelous, that is wonderful, that is full of meaning, flows through each of us. And we just open ourselves up to knowing that right here and right now. This is my truth. This is a truth for everyone here listening right now. So I release these words, knowing that they are so, and so it is.
Greetings, CSL Midtown. Good morning to everyone in the building and online. The title of my segment of today's exploration of the topic, Stumbling Blocks or Stepping Stones, is Divine Discontent. It's all God. It's all good. If you've spent any length of time around CSL or any other New Thought organization, you know that two of the foundational premises are that, number one, there's only one presence, one power in the universe, which is that infinite, intelligent life force that many of us call God. There's only one presence in all creation, so God is all there is. We say that God shows up in all, through all, as all. And the second foundational premise of this teaching is that the nature of God is good. So since there's nothing apart from God, we teach that the nature of all is good. So good shows up in all, through all, as all the time. That good is the inherent nature back of every single person, place, thing, and experience. To paraphrase the Bible, all things work together for good for those who know the truth. But as part of our human experience, almost all of us have had situations that at first glance, and sometimes even second, third, fourth, and fifth glance, most of us have had experiences that simply do not seem good or feel good. I'm going to talk about a way of looking at some of those experiences that is known as divine discontent. Now, I don't know who first came up with this term, but an explanation of it I found online comes from the New Thought minister, Reverend Dr. Abigail Abbott of the All Faith Center in San Diego, California. Reverend Dr. Abbott says of divine discontent that it is a higher calling, which is always meant to move us out of our comfort zone and expand us into something greater than before. Life always moves us upward and onward. The part that I find missing from her description is that this urging for us to move forward toward our greater good doesn't always look or feel so good, hence the discontent part. I first became aware of this term and its related phenomena in my metaphysical studies back around the year 2000 or so. The term came to my awareness as I was living in the suburbs of South Florida and working on Miami Beach. I was a teacher at Miami Beach Senior High, and like many people, I've always had a love for the beach and a desire to be near it all the time. I wanted to live on the beach. It was my first year teaching there at Miami Beach High and my second year teaching overall. I soon met a couple of ladies who were also young new teachers who did live on the beach. I, however, could not fathom how I could possibly afford the rent required to live there. And as I had a husband and a small child, we couldn't live in a studio or an efficiency like my one friend. And we couldn't afford the great deal of a price that my other friend paid for her beautiful 2 or 3 bedroom apartment. It's Miami Beach, y'all. It's not cheap. And you know how much beginning teachers earn. Not much at all. Oh, but Miami Beach is so beautiful. So I would most often take the longer route to and from home just so I could drive down Ocean Drive and admire the beauty and tranquility of the beach. And as I did that, I just just remember that my heart was just deeply desiring and yearning to live there. And at the same time, I was becoming more and more discontent with my current living environment and its surroundings. I was living in an apartment in the suburbs south of Miami that I considered temporary when I first moved there. The neighborhood was okay, especially if I avoided visiting the grocery stores and gas stations, etc., that were nearest me. I basically lived just on the right side of the tracks, so to speak. In my case, the tracks was actually the turnpike, which separated the neighborhoods. In fact, from my back balcony, my view was of said turnpike. It was just a short way into the distance. And like most people, I enjoy beauty and cleanliness and order and even luxury and opulence. But it would take me a good 15 minutes to get to the nice shopping centers and other conveniences to the east of me. And that was the standard that I was used to living. I grew up living that way. I'd always lived that way before I moved to this location. But it was much more convenient for me to get to the nearest, not so clean and orderly shopping centers and conveniences just to the west. It was just about 3 to 7 minutes to get there. So as my desire to live on the beautiful beach grew, my discontent with my immediate surroundings also grew. My discontent grew to the point where I became pretty unhappy with living where I was. And I even began to feel a little depressed about what my life had become at the ripe age of like 27 or so. So long story short, I 100% attribute my discontent with living where I was to be what drove me to wholeheartedly dive into the conscious manifestation process and go after my desire to live on the beach, which of course I did. I found a lovely 2-bedroom apartment with intercoastal and beach views at a great price and a lovely older yet very well-kept building in the beautiful section of Miami Beach called Sunny Isles Beach. The thing is that before teaching on the beach, I could not imagine paying that price for an apartment. But this experience allowed me to stretch the borders of my imagination and be set free from that limiting belief. I know that it was the feeling of discontent that drove me toward my good. And I know that that was nothing but a God thing. I'm sure you know of many stories like that, where maybe someone had a desire to pursue their dream career, but felt stuck where they were. And their discontent drove them to follow their heart's desire and find that newer, better job. Or maybe it's discontent in a relationship or with a product or service they're using. It feels like discontent, but as this teaching says, everything is God, so even that discontent is divine. Ernest Holmes says, "Nature will not let us stay in any one place for too long. Spirit will let us stay just long enough to gather the experience necessary to the unfolding and advancement of the soul. This is a wise provision, for should we stay too long, we would become too set, too rigid, too inflexible. Nature demands change in order that we may advance. Sometimes, friends, the urge to advance comes through divine discontent. But take heart, it's all good and it's all God. Thank you. And now we'll hear from the third practitioner you'll hear from this morning. So sit back and relax and allow the beautiful and vivacious Barbara Guillory to delight you with her wisdom. Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you, Maya. That was absolutely intriguing and just really wonderful, very insightful. Judy, a fantastic job in framing where we are and who we are this morning. Excuse me. I do want to shout out to Jake. Jake is our IT director, guys, and he has put everything in place. Jake, fantastic job. Also, Richard, Lynn, our volunteers, Connie. This does not happen without our volunteers. And of course, we have Sylvia here this morning as well. She's very supportive. This morning, I'm happy to be part of this. This is a dream that Dr. Bob had for us to have Practitioner Sunday. So thank you, Dr. Bob, for dreaming such a beautiful dream. So all of you, welcome into the dream of Dr. Bob. We are constantly in someone's dream, or we are the dreamers. So you always want to know whose dream that you're supporting or whose dream you're dreaming. But it's always good to know that there is a dream that you can be part of. As Judy said earlier, is it a stumbling block or is it a stepping stone? This morning, I want to talk to you about triggers. We live in a world where we're often triggered. We're triggered by different things. We're triggered without even knowing that we are triggered. We're triggered saying these things from our conditioning, from our childhood, from school, from our families. And again, these are beliefs that we have about ourselves. When these beliefs are not challenged, then we come to believe this is who we are. But again, want to throw out a few situations. Sometimes we may find ourselves around people where we have to walk on eggshell because we don't want to hurt their feelings. So the question is, are you triggered into being hurt, or are you triggered into being a healer in that situation? Or maybe you find yourself in a situation where you have to play small so someone else's feelings don't get hurt, because you're just great. You're just great. There's no other reason. You're just great. But you, since there's somebody wanting to be this victim, okay? Guys, you know, I'm grew up as a Catholic, went to Catholic school. So, you know, this victim thing, I got down pat. So that was my conditioning. And of course, over the years, coming to the classes here with the, at the time it was Science of Mind, and I began to kind of heal myself of being that person, that small person, being that person that my parents told me I was, the schools told me I was, my friend told me. Because as you continue to live in life, your challenges grow. But do the concept of you, your idea of you, does it grow along with you? And oftentimes it doesn't, because it's just an automatic thing. So if we're like in a line in the grocery store, are we triggered into being hurt, being this victim because we have to stand in line? Are we triggered into being a healer? So we have this choice about who we are, who we want to be, How do we want to express ourselves in a given situation? In school, especially, you know, if somebody just shows up, we don't have to know them. We just don't like them. We just don't. We have no reason why. We just don't. Or they can be on TV. And we form this relationship with these people on TV that never know us or care for us. But we have so many emotions. Oh, my God, they are this and they are that. And again, these are beliefs we have about ourselves. So the question is, are you triggered into being hurt about them being on TV, about them looking great, about them being who they are, about them living their best life? Are you triggered into being a healer? So through the classes, I began to heal myself. And guys, this was just absolutely wonderful because I didn't have to be that victim. I did not have to bring harm to myself simply because someone else was who they were, which had nothing at all to do with me. And of course, went to classes, continued the classes, then I found I can bring healing to not just myself, but to others as well. So this was real exciting because I am that people person. I'm always wanting to help people. But sometimes you may not know how. And through the teachings here, Science of Mind, Center for Spiritual Living, I learn through spirit. This is the best way we can help anyone. By connecting and creating with spirit, I can create an experience for myself that I so desire. I can create an experience of love instantly. I can create an experience of harmony instantly. I can create an experience of peace instantly. I can create an experience of healing instantly. And this has been the mindset that has brought freedom into my life, that has brought greatness into my life. And this is what I share with you all today. So I want to leave you with the idea of believing in your greatness, believing in who you truly are, in that spirit. When you listen to spirit, the message they have for you, it's about your goodness. It's about your greatness. It is about your peace. It is about your joy. It is about your health. It is about your creativity. What is there not to love about you? So just know, is it a stumbling block or a stepping stone? We can use our triggers to bring into existence hurt or healing. And again, this is how we can live our best life. I do also want to shout out to Lee Huffman. He's on the Camino. He is a practitioner. It just so happened that he checked in this morning. So he's part of our dream. And again, as we all continue to dream, let's just have fun as we do. So the next practitioner that is up, guys, is Norma Roberts. Norma actually lives in Florida, but Norma is like my sister. She is my sister. Instantly met her, and the energy, the spirit was one. When you hear people say one, that is just one where you don't have to work at it. So I want to introduce my sister this morning. Norma, I tease her as calling her Reverend Norma because her spirit is just so reverent for me. And you look gorgeous this morning. Take it away, Norma Roberts.
Oh, thank you so very much, Barbara. You are really a true sister. Thank you again. And good morning. It's wonderful to be here today as we are focusing on the strength of God in our everyday struggles. In a creative mind, Ernest Holmes states, we have within us a power that is greater than anything we shall ever contact on the outer. It's a power that can overcome every obstacle in our life. As I tell you my story, you will have the opportunity to decide where the stumbling blocks are or whether they are stepping stones. You see, being the oldest child in the family and not having much money, college was never ever mentioned for me. When I finished school, I was expected to get a job and help the family. But instead, I got married and began having children. I want to stop here for a moment and let you know that the stories that we read as children, they are really fairy tales. When it says, and they lived happily ever after, it's a part of the fairy tale. And I was sort of believing in that fairy tale. But at this point in my life was sort of in turmoil. I knew that you had to value yourself, but I didn't know who I was or what there was to value. But I did get a job. Schools were segregated at the time, but I found myself a job working in a white high school cafeteria as a pot washer. The manager seemed to like me, and in time, I was given the chore to find someone to do the job that I had been hired to do. I found two friends who took over the job as a pot washer, and I was assigned other duties there. Eventually, the manager told me, I'm going to make you a manager just like me. Administrators from the counter approached me, but being young and Black, I was required to take an IQ test for any advancement. But after the test, they really pushed me. I was placed in the first brand new school that opened in the Black community. Working there for a while, I decided to enroll in college against all of my husband's commands or demands. Since I was working with foods, I thought, hey, might be a good idea for me to be a dietitian. But again, because of segregation, I was informed that there was no place for me to get training. I received my degree in education, and by this time, schools were integrated. Thinking that I would be hired as a teacher in the school where I had been working, I met with the principal and informed him of my desire to teach at this school. However, the principal emphatically said, no, you would not fit in here. I wouldn't hire you as a teacher after you've been a food service manager. You will not be allowed to go into the classroom as a teacher after food services. You wouldn't be accepted there. I don't even remember how I felt after this. Here was a person telling me that I was of no value, of no good at all. But I do know you don't have to allow anyone to diminish you, especially if you value yourself. And at this point, I had learned that I was of some value. I was beginning to love myself. A few weeks later, a family friend who was an assistant principal in a middle school called and asked me if I would work in his school. He told me I would have to come in for an interview, but I already had the job if I would take it. I was hired at this school as a teacher of mathematics. A couple of years later, I was named Teacher of the Year. I was made head of the math department, and I served in that capacity for more than 37 years. Along the way, I earned a master's degree in mathematics education. While I worked at the middle school during the day, I taught adults and a GED program at night. I retired from middle school and began working full-time in the GED program. I often tutored students having problems passing the GED math test for free. One day, after teaching one of my free students, the teacher I was working with put something in my hand. When I got to my car, I found it was $300. I want to stop my story here, but I want to let everyone know that I know I was always in God's hands. But I know that if God is for me, who can be against me? Let me say that when you are facing a challenge, are you able to look at it and say, oh, this is just a stumbling block? I doubt it. You don't think about it like that. Do you have an expectancy of some change? Remember this, that it is your faith, and it is your faith that will see you through whatever challenge you're experiencing. There are better days ahead. Thank you so much for listening. And now we will have our prosperity announcement.
Right. All right. Thank you, all of the practitioners. Did a fabulous job. Maya, Barbara, Norma, thank you. I'm truly inspired and really appreciate that we had this opportunity to do this. Now it is the time to give back to our center. If this is a place where you receive your spiritual nourishment, we invite you to give to our center. You can donate at our website. It should be up here on the screen in a minute, cslmidtown.org, or use the QR code on the screen. All right, let's just say together now our affirmation for prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Thank you all again for being here, and really, I just so much appreciate hearing from each of our practitioners this morning. If you have any questions that you would like to ask us, please feel free to do so. There's a way to request prayer or treatment on our website, so feel free to do that. Also, we have a couple practitioners here. If anybody here would like prayer or treatment, let us know. And speaking of our website, if you haven't been there in a while, check it out. It has a new look. It's really great. So kudos to the board and the people that have worked on that. Thank you this morning to our volunteers for their setup, Lynn and Rick and Sylvia, and to Jake, who really has stepped up because our minister has been gone, but so has our usual tech guy, Vance. So we'll be back here again next week. Dr. Bob will be here. The theme for October, where did September go? We're already in October. The theme for October is prosperity, and the title of next week's talk is Swimming in the Infinite Ocean. We hope to see you then. Have a great week, and let's do our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me, and so it is. Thank you all. It's great to see everybody.